Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. Today it's time for another edition of Something Old, Something New. You know the format by now. It's our monthly episode where we invite a couple of friends, colleagues, siblings, or in this case, a mother and son within the realms of the creative world to find out the objects, songs, people, places, just the stuff that has intrigued, interested, or inspired them during their careers. And this month's episode, that aforementioned mother and son duo are Fiona Stewart and Ben Coleman, the brains and good looks behind the lushest festival on the UK circuit. It is, of course, Green Man, which takes place each August in the rolling hills of South Wales, always with brilliant bands, fantastic food, and amazing ales, a winning formula. So what keeps their brains ticking over to keep churning out stellar events for us each summer? Let's find out in the next half hour here on Culture with me, Robert Bound. Fiona and Ben, welcome to the programme. Thank you very much for popping by, getting on so famously. We had an interesting ice-breaking moment doing the level testing for the microphones. I feel like we should have an extra section, a kind of like an X-rated version of this show that goes out.
Let's move on.
let's move it on, exactly. But everyone was blushing, even if they weren't a family member. So congratulations on, well, it's going to be in a couple of months' time, another fantastic-looking lineup for Green Man. So you're Something Olds and Something Newes are fairly close to home for Green Man, in fact. Let's start with you, Ben. And we want to tell our listeners, some of whom might recognise your name and your voice from some of the special Green Man shows we've done from the festival itself. So you're in charge of booking these wonderful acts.
I am in charge of booking these acts. I'm very fortunate to do what I do because I get to listen to, you know, bundles of music and links and everything that's sent to me, and that I seek and go to all the shows, and I'm very, very fortunate to do that.
It's an unusual one, right? I mean, it's become one of those things that, you know, it starts off as fandom, it becomes a job. Mm. But how easy is it to sort of, you know, to sit in the middle of that seesaw and realize it's, you've got sort of a job of work to do, but that it's, you know, that it's damn fun and quite lucky to be doing it as well.
Well, you always, I think everybody has to take a step back occasionally and look at what they're doing to actually really appreciate that what they do is, you know, if they do something that really stimulates them and gives a lot of people enjoyment, then you know, I think you're in a fortunate position. So yes, even though it's work, sometimes you just do have to step back and be like, okay, this is absolutely fantastic. And then, yeah, sitting in the middle of it and weighing it up, you know, for me it's the split between being a big fan of a lot of these bands and musicians and artists, and then, you know, obviously we've got a festival that we organise, and ensuring that people, it's not only me that wants to see these bands, it can't just be me at the front of the stage kind of whipping. It needs to be thousands of others that are there at the same time.
Ben Coleman down the front whipping his shirt around to a field of no one. Well, let's roll out your first choice then. This is Something Old, Ben. It's James Yorkston, and he's one of your first bookings. Why don't we give our listeners a bit of a clip so they know what we're listening to and talking about first.
Okay. If I promise to settle down, only you forever by my side, or will you keep the peace?
It's finger-picking good. It's James Yorkston. That was Summer Song from his 2006 LP, The Year of the Leopard. One of your first bookings for Green Man, I think.
Yes, he played the inaugural Green Man in 2003 and has been a staple. You know, he plays every year pretty much, apart from one year, actually.
Right, okay. So he turned up in his sleep sort of thing. He's a homing pigeon for Green Man.
He's trying to figure out ways to book him, and he's got a couple of different guises now, but...
Yeah.
He, you know, our audience love him. He's very much, he feels, I don't want to say part of the furniture. It would be a very high spec, top end.
I was going to say, what is he?
He's part of the family.
Is he a battered Chesterfield? Or is he a kind of piece of Danish design? What is he?
I think he's a
rustic.
Rustic and real.
A rustic Scottish throne.
And very comfortable.
This is good. Okay, if anyone else wants to describe James Yorkston's work of furniture, write to Ben.Coleman at greenman.com. So you presumably, you know, you build up a great relationship with these guys that come back year on year. I believe Laura Marling is one of those people as well, who was on the headliners last year. And then you have a very, you know, a great relationship with her. And you've sort of seen her rise sort of through the ranks, as it were, from small stage or early in the day to, you know, top billing sort of thing. With James, I guess you've got, what's your relationship like there?
Well, you know, he's...
I just like to sit on him.
Yeah, well, when I've aligned him with a piece of furniture, it's very comfortable. Comfy armchair. No, he's... Yeah. You know, James is such an incredible musician, and he also, you know, the Fence Collective, he was part of, you know, starting that up with the likes of King Creosote and the Beta Band, the Aliens.
And amazing pool of talent to come
Trail,
from.
Yeah, all from Fife. And... You know, they've just been such a big part of the festival and how it's grown over the years and played so many different times and with different bands and different people and different collaborations. And, you know, the festival without him, it's just, I think every year, every time I start the booking process, it's very much like, oh, James, you know, what's he up to this year?
Yeah.
You know, and he's probably had, I think, he's released 8 records, all on Domino, which is obviously a close friend of ours, record label-wise as well. So I think all of these factors go hand in hand into making it a pretty, you know, pretty special relationship. He also completely kind of introduced me to this world of his rustic folk and traditional song and singing the songs of the likes of Anne Briggs and, you know, supporting John Martin and introducing me increasingly to this finger picking technique, which I've grown to really love with, you know, booking the festival. And...
With a musician like James, I mean, he's had more expansive sounding records and then he's had very, you know, close mic finger-picking folk records, which was like the Summer Song, which we just heard there. When you're booking bands, you love the sound of their record. I know we're going to talk about Aldous Harding, which is going to be your second choice. Yeah. With a performer like that, a bit more production on those records maybe. Do you sometimes fret about doing that music on the big stages that you guys have at Green Man? Some of them bigger than others, but
I think we're fortunate that our audience are real music lovers. So, I do. I think about what stage every act's going to play, and I kind of picture myself there, and I think about the bands that are before and
with
after.
With your shirt off, just turning around.
Me by myself.
Yeah.
listening to my favourite bands.
Yes, exactly.
So I kind of envisage it and put the band on the stage and kind of listen to it and think about the crescendo of a day and how it's building up and how they fit into that billing, etc. So these, you know, the more delicate artists and finger-picking folky songs, traditional song, I think it can work. Obviously, I think everybody would rather see that on a more intimate stage.
Yeah.
But James played, he's just released his second record with as Yorkston Thorne and Khan, and they played on the main stage last year. You know, John Thorne, he was in Lamb as well, as a double bassist in that. And, you know, it worked really well. I think people, at the same time, you can't limit yourself, or I can't limit myself in the way I program it, just because of a stage. And sometimes it's good for people to see that kind of act on such a big stage.
And you have the sweep of emotion of a day at a festival, and you know, it's one of those things you have to be cognizant of what's happening with the light and what's happening with all of these things. There is a rhythm to the day at a festival, and it is nice to see something that is not just all the hits on a main stage. It's a really great thing, and it gives people a moment of you think about it a little bit more. I think it's good stuff.
People, you have to break it up. It can't just be wall-to-wall bangers.
Wall-to-wall bangers. Are you going to say all killer, no filler?
We have that later. I'll leave that to you, Rob.
All right, okay. Okay, as recommended by Ben Coleman, his Something Old was James Yorkston. Some sort of comfy Scottish throne, apparently. Okay, Fiona, we're going to take your old and new, and we're going to splice them together.
Okay.
In our sort of strange radio magimix, you selflessly have chosen have chosen old Green Man and then new Green Man.
Okay.
Green Man is your old and new. But this is good stuff. We're on familiar territory, and we want to kind of give people a bit of a sort of journey back in time, possibly. So tell us about the old Green Man. Tell us about the genesis of the festival, the part of the world it's in, and why, and all the rest of it.
We ran the festival in the Brecon Beacons National Park, and we first went to the site. It literally was a farm with a bungalow in the middle of it with a big back garden. and we got driven around by the owner at 100 miles an hour around this estate. I was with Nush, who also works with us. Yeah. He's a fellow director. And he was in the car. And we thought we were going to die, actually. It was just the most eccentric introduction to anywhere. Anyway, we drove around and it was one of those classic things that they drove us through this beautiful, used to be a deer park that was there. It was amazing. And we looked up and you could see the Black Mountain. I mean, it was just amazing. Full of sheep. I mean, it was a farm.
Yeah.
And then as we went round, I said, oh, we'll meet up in this car park in this near the house. And I don't know. There isn't a big estate, a big country pile there. There is this kind of bungalow that's in the middle of it. Anyway, we drove. It was like, stop the car. And we got out, literally fell out of the car. Fell out of the car and looked... And suddenly realised, and we were in this back garden of this house, and we suddenly looked at it and realised that if we actually developed it, we could create it into an amphitheatre. And so we ended up, and I remember talking to the guy there and just saying, "No, we'd like to. Why would you want to use this?" And I was like, yeah. "Well, you know, it seems quite nice. I think it would be useful. We could bring it in." The walled garden, which is now was a place for a pig pen.
Was it really?
Yeah,
it was just a beautiful place. Kind of Victorian kitchen garden. Yeah. It seems to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but then it was a pig pen. It was right. So we did a lot of infrastructure into the garden and dug it out. It was filled with kind of very strange flowers that you find in sort of old people's homes sometimes. You know, I don't know why from those sort of psychedelic flowers from the 70s, which are quite nice.
Sort of the kind of old school kind of nasturtiums and marigolds and those sorts of, yeah.
I quite like the idea of a psychedelic old people's home.
You can put me in that when I'm older than <Then, laughs> I've always been booked in now.
That's the whole new festival idea, isn't it? Welcome
to my world.
Yeah, exactly. But just roll up this nasturtium and smoke it, you'll be fine.
That sounds ideal. Anyway, we did all that and we created. So it literally was from the ground up. There was nothing there. And bless them, the people there I think they thought we were mad. But we moved all this earth and dug all these things out and got it together. And the amphitheatre that you see, the mountain stage in, which is one of the most fantastic things, that's what it was. It was an elderly lady's, retired lady's garden that we took over and moved it into what it is now.
And it's an amazing thing. Did you know what you wanted it to be like in order to be able to start the work? I mean,
yeah,
you need a vision for these
vision.
Things, but
yes.
And it's one of those things. Mm. It's one of those things you always ask. I always ask this of a novelist or a painter. Did it end up like you wanted it to be when you started? With you guys, was it that? Because it is such a photogenic stage. It is such a great. I mean, the sound is great there, and obviously you've got the mountain behind it. I mean, it's one in a million. As I say, when you stand there on a Sunday night after 3 days of the festival, do you think, oh, this is what it was all about back?
Well,
then?
I going back to you saying about that something new. I remember the first festival we had there, walking in and walking across. I think most people when they go to Greenmount for the first time, that thing where they walk into that space and walking into it and thinking and seeing the stage up. And I think we were all together at the time. It was lovely. It was a real wow moment.
Yeah.
And that's never stopped with me. You know, every time we go there, it's so amazing. You see, there are two things we love to see, and that's the circus tents go up.
Yeah.
And we've not lost that enjoyment and that magical moment. And all of us sit outside like soppy, sentimental people. Like, oh, look, the circus tent's going up. Look, the stage is going up. We all have still that wonder of seeing these things that are this sort of city emerging, this magical city emerging from the ground, which is a phenomenal thing. I mean, people walk into a festival and it's already structured, but that it's a real gift to us that we have this moment. And I always think it's like the world holds its breath and you go in there and there's no one there and there's that moment. And anyone who's been there understands what I'm talking about. And then people start coming in and you see everything filled up. But it's an amazingly exciting moment when you see all of that. And it's such a beautiful place and everything. So it was designed so that each area was like a room. So
it feels like that. It feels like it's got that. It feels like it has that sort of serendipity that a nice walking around a nice little town has, where there's a, you know, there's a gradient, there's light, there's shade, there's a big view, there's kind of dappled things, there's all sorts of. I mean, you're lucky with your landscape, but you also have to know where to put the stuff that you bring in, right?
I think initially
The layout hasn't changed from when I've been going.
It changed a bit. I mean, some of it's been organic. You know, different people bring ideas into it. Including Ben or Nush as well, or other people who've worked for us over the years. I mean, it's a sum of, you know, ultimately you started off, but at the end of it, it's the sum of everyone's bit of input. Oh, that'll look a little bit better there, or to the right, or to the left. But the whole kind of tone of it, the fact that there's. You go into nature and nurture and sit in a hot tub overlooking the Black Mountains, or you go into the after dark field and party all night. You know, it's very, or the children's areas and things. It's or Einstein's Garden. It is very much, they have very strong. I don't think we'd ever do something where you just had, like, you know, the comedy tent or the.
Yeah.
Everything's very much. It's like lots of little mini festivals in one place.
The only thing that's been ever present is actually the positioning of the main stage,
right.
Of the mountain stage. Mm-hmm. Everything else, every other area and stage has shuffled around the site into different positions.
Mm.
Fenny, can you do your comedy stage voice again?
Don't you?
We're not the kind of people that just go, it's a comedy stage.
Okay, no.
I like that. It's pretty good.
It wouldn't just. Well, it's just that thing of people just have, you know, on the comedy stage.
I want that person to do the comparing this year. Yeah.
The spoken word stage.
Yeah,
it's,
you know,
it's the Jack D way of doing comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're both dreadful. I think you laughed too much. Okay, but that's, the comedy stage. We don't want to have on this.
Do you have one of those things where, you know, people, this is my grant, and you got driven around at 100 miles an hour by the Lord of the Manor, by the landowner, who it was, and, you know, and you staggered out of the Land Rover or whatever. Do you feel, and it was wanted you to put this on and wanted to facilitate the green man dream kind of thing. What about being festival people? Because it's we've all had a good time. We've all had a good time, okay, at Green Man. But there's a great rigor to putting something like this on. I mean, it's like running. It's like, you know, it's obviously a company. It's all the rest of it. But, you know, you are talking of, we've got 47 managers, and they all know what that they have to do, and they've all, and it's one of those funny things where. It's always that, for me, it's that balance between kind of like, when am I working and when am I not? You might have noticed on some of the Green Man broadcasts. but is that a funny thing when you were in the business of giving other people pleasure? That those two things can be. Don't be smutty, Ben.
He's dreadful.
I know he is.
I didn't bring you up like this.
When you're in the business of entertainment and culture, I'll say that. Yep. Is it sometimes you kind of like, God, let's sack it off at 4 rather than 6 because we need to do this? Do you know what I mean? You have to be even more rigorous when you're in a place that is not about being rigorous for everybody else.
I think you have to be. I mean, you have to definitely lead by example.
Yeah.
You know, I think most people in the festival are kind of, you know, they love to party. They love, you know, they enjoy life. And I think we're very aware that the people that have got to enjoy themselves, and it's a bit like having a, you know, any kind of entertainment. You know, you're the host.
Yeah.
So you do need to be in that. And I think, although, you know, we laugh about it, there's a fair amount of discipline to that. You know, there's a lot of respect
for every ringmaster suffers from nerves and appalling OCD, let's face it. And before we leave the old and new for Green Man, Fiona, how do you nudge it around and sort of slightly mess with people's expectations, because it can't always be the same. You have to change some of the music up, some of the style of the music from stage to stage and year to year, and the positioning of things and introduce new things and all the rest of it. How do you consult with anyone on that, or is that all gut feeling between you and the team?
I think there's definitely things that when we come out of the event we're all feeling. You know, we all be, and as that's gone along, the people who are kind of more prominent and there all the time, that, you know, obviously you take their views into consideration. But it never changes. I mean, it's an incredibly different event from when it first went to the Brecon Beacons. But it's evolved, but it still stayed very much the same. You know, that it's got that same kind of friendliness, its same interest in new things. Like I was saying, you know, a lot of people buy tickets and don't even know who we're going to announce or whatever. Yeah. And because there's an expectation of an experience. They know.
You've made a brand, haven't you? You by hook and by crook, possibly completely on purpose. But it's difficult to make a brand. It's only as good as the act you have, as the atmosphere.
And the passion you have for it. I mean, we don't do anything that we ourselves... It's that balance. It's what Ben's saying. It's a balance of what he loves about the music he books. And that's the same with all the people who book different things at the festival. And all the ideas we have. It's the passion of we like, balancing it off with what we feel the people wish to see. But we do things which, years ago, I think Green Man was one of the was the first festival to bring in science engagement, for instance. There'd been science and green fields and things like that, but proper science engagement. And that's, I think, is nearly 10 years old now. And remember at the time, people thought we were a bit mad. Why are you doing this? Yeah. And in fact, it's
researching
one of
the psychedelic old people.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it was. I never thought of that, but that's probably the whole objective all this time. But I think now it's, it's been a main part of the festival, and it's become something that people expect and look forward to. And people who wouldn't normally go to, these people who wouldn't normally go to science fairs and things like that, they actually are very engaged with it. So, I mean, we have added. It's a multi-arts festival and science event. Music is definitely, the beating heart of Green Man and will ever be so. But there are so many other areas which sort of evolves all the time. And some of those areas are now going out of Green Man as well and touring and doing other things. But it's very much, those kind of authentic brands, experiences, whatever you want to call them. But the actual ethos of it all never changes. That's very similar from when it started.
Fiona, thank you for talking us through old and new Green Man. Where will I see you?
In the bar.
Down the comedy tent. It's the sad clown. Fiona Stewart, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Before we go then, it's time to bring back Ben to talk about his something new. Shall we have a little slice of Aldous Harding? That is Aldous Harding. That was called Imagining My Man. It's from her new album. I think her second album, called Party. It's out on 4AD. She reminds me of about a million things that I love.
Well, that can only be a good thing.
What a lot there is going on just in that sort of 30-second clip we heard. So where did you first come across Aldous Harding? And she's booked this year, so that's exciting. So tell us about Aldous.
So I first came across Aldous. I heard a track somewhere and I was just like, wow, this has really got something. It sounds so unique. The timbre of the sound is very striking, I think. It really kind of hits you.
It could be from any... If someone said that was some lost tape from the 60s, it sounds like a Karen Dalton, it's got that vibe.
Yeah, completely. And then I read up a little bit and I was like, okay, she's a Kiwi. Kind of makes it a little bit more interesting.
She's called Aldous, but she's a girl.
She's called Aldous, which may not be her real name, but she might have nicked that from a philosopher, maybe.
Yes.
I kind of went onto Facebook and I just messaged her and I was like, oh, can I hear some new music, please? It's 2014. And obviously some people are, because I'm like, oh, hi, I'm the programmer of this festival. You probably haven't even heard of it.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear some music. And she got back to me and she kindly sent me the record. And then we stayed in touch a little bit. And I didn't manage to book her at all, for 3 years. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, she's been signed by 4AD, for the second record.
So you weren't the only one with a hunch?
No. And she completely opened. Obviously, when you're signed by 4AD, it's just part of Beggars Group and, release the likes of The National and Bon Iver and, whoever. That's going to open up big doors, gigantic doors, and make the trip from New Zealand a lot
opening
shorter.
Up the doors. We're right back to Aldous Huxley.
We are.
This is what she's done. Yeah, maybe exactly. She meant to do this in her wisdom all those years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you have a bit of you know that thing? We one of those things. You kind of go, well, I liked her first, you know. But you know when it's one of those things, you kind of go, oh, yeah, you know, it's nice to have her. You're obviously this happens to you a lot. So your hunches are rewarded on a huge stage, you know. But it must be extra satisfying when you kind of go, I like this person. And they drop off the radar a bit. You don't manage to get them over to the UK to play the stage, to play the festival. It must be nice when they come lapping to your shore on a 4AD boat.
It's fantastic for her, you know, and just to see it. I was fortunate. I managed to see her in Brighton that year, I think, that first year. And just to see her live really takes it to a whole new level. I don't know, she played on Jules Holland fairly recently. And if you watch that, you get an idea of Aldous live is just really mesmerizing and passionate, and just she expresses every single word that she sings in her facial expression, and that's very unique. You don't often find people that are doing that kind of thing these days and really truly expressing themselves. Yeah. And then that teamed with creating Party, which is a fantastic record, and it's John Parrish produced, who is the producer for a lot of PJ Harvey's work and an incredible musician himself. So I think you can really hear it in the production on like Horizon, which is another track from this record. You can just hear it. It's like the kind of it's the musicality of it is really John Parrish. There's a John Parrish feel, but then teamed with Aldous.
It's an interesting thing of knowing that production thing as well, especially when you're working with such an unusual artist who's so expressive and say all sorts of influences in there, but very unique in itself. How much as a producer you want to add to it, and how much you want to take away, how much you want to really hardly, you know, touch it with kind of gossamer gloves, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's something kind of very precious that you don't want to, you know, mess around with too much.
And I think 4AD and John Parrish have done that incredibly, because you can listen to her first self-titled record and it's you know, I think everyone, you know, you read online, it instantly just says gothic folk, and there is the melancholy around it, and I think the way that it's been adapted, and it is far more polished now on this record, that's for certain, but I think they've handled it really well, and it feels very much like an Aldous Harding record rather than just, you know, trying to propel it into a place where it doesn't sit naturally.
Yeah, I can sort of imagine her standing at the top of a sort of castle battlement, drying her tears with her long hair in a sort of Ophelia gown. But I can also imagine her kicking ass in a kind of big feminist main stage way.
I can, that's the thing. She seems incredibly.
Sounds
adaptable.
Good to me.
That's what it sounds like to me. Yeah.
And she's, you know, live. She's performing with Hugh Evans, which is H. Hort Klein.
Yeah.
Who's played Green Man a lot of times before, so it seemed to all point naturally to in a Green Man direction, I think. And she, you know, fortunately, she's playing the Wall Garden this year. So,
oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So she'll be eating the wacky nasturtiums. They're real good for you, aren't they? That was a vogue about a year or two ago, wasn't it?
So nasturtium always smoking.
Nasturtium sort of sprinkling on your pasta. Right?
Oh, yes. Edible flowers.
Edible flowers.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Well, you can do whatever you will with them. We're all in the Green Man family here.
You are in the Green Man family.
Thank you both very much indeed for coming in and sharing it with us. You're something old, you're something new. You're James Yorkstons and Aldous Hardings. And for some reason, Green Man old and new. Fiona Stewart, how dare you? So Fiona and Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the Green Man Festival, it's sold out, which is great news. It's got a phenomenal lineup. We'll be doing some bits and bobs from there for sure. So listen to our shows a little bit later in the year. But the festival, anyway, is on from the 17th to the 20th of August in the beautiful Brecon Beacons. Very green. Anyway, head to greenman.net for more information about this year's affair. Thank you very much, Green Men, Green Ladies. I looked at the wrong person when I said that. That was weird. I've been Robert Bounds, and my producer was the evergreen Holly Fisher. Thank you very much for tuning in.